Well, I want to share with you a little bit, the third week of my little mini-series, I Walk With Him. Our year this year is not of this world, and I love the fact that we are not of this world. In fact, if I look at the world and I look at the news too much, it doesn't do my soul any good. It really doesn't. And I don't want to be of a lot of parts of the world. There's lots of good things, but there's lots of things I think, no, that is wrong. That is unjust. And we have a God who would consider the same thing. Even though he loves every person, he doesn't always love the behavior. And I look at the world and I think there's got to be an alternative. Well, there is. God has an alternative, an alternate way to live. It's within his kingdom. And we are not called to be of the world. We're called to be in the world to show what not of this world looks like. And I'm convinced, and the reason why I'm doing this little three-part series on I Walk With Him, the only way really you can live not of this world is to walk with him. And it's an active thing. It's not just a metaphorical thing. Oh, yeah, I walk with God. I have a faith. No, 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 no. They're actions. They're more than just, oh, I just want to do this. No, no, no. It's a decision to walk with him. How do you say? It's actually a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing where you're in connection with God. And we've been sharing that. 2 weeks ago, I shared from Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's the key to getting through the valleys. You're going to go through valleys. That's just part of life. You're going to be offended at things. You're going to have things which don't work. You're going to be disappointed. That's okay, because you are with me, God. He doesn't leave you. I talked about the second week, I talked about Romans chapter 8, my favourite passage of scripture, where it talks for, you know, there is no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Also says that we are all children of God. It says that, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good. All these great truths. Another one of them is nothing can separate you from the love of God. They are all amazing truths. But the whole context of that passage is believers, those that walk in the Spirit understand it. They get it. Because there are a lot of Christians who feel condemned. There are a lot of Christians who don't feel as though they're children of God. There are a lot of Christians who don't think that all things work together for good. There's a lot of Christians who are questioning, does God even love me? And I think the key to that is to walk with him. When you walk with Holy Spirit, this amazing being, you understand they are true to me. And your life shows that by the way you walk it. That's what that passage was. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, there's this little passage I just want to highlight out to you. I didn't read it out last week, or I did, but it didn't make it the center of things. Romans 8, chapter verse 16 says this: the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Don't you think that's an odd scripture? The Holy Spirit, pneuma, is the word used there, which is air, breath, wind, bears witness with our spirit. Isn't that interesting? Today I want to talk about what this really means. That's the key to walking with him, is to have Holy Spirit bear with our spirits. It is so important to have Holy Spirit walking with you. In fact, I would even suggest Christianity without walking with Holy Spirit is a dangerous walk. It can become so dry and religious it binds you up. It stops you from walking the way you should walk, really, in this beautiful freedom that Christ has. Christianity without Holy Spirit, where you're walking every day with him, I actually think can keep you stranded without growing. And I'm convinced, as I said before, that I don't think you can be not of this world without walking with Holy Spirit. You've got to have him. You've got to be actively walking with him, because that ensures that you're there. Today, I want to show how we can walk with him. Is that cool? Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be reading out of Galatians. Galatians is a cool book. Paul, the suggestion is Paul is ticked when he wrote this book. He even says, I wish I could be with you so I could change my tone. In other words, if I saw you face to face, I'd love you more. But right now, I'm just so ticked with you. That's what he's saying. He even says in the Message version, what bewitched you? You're walking such a great journey. What bewitched you? What took you off track? He's a dad laying down the law. But in chapter 5, verse 1, listen to this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's cool. Stand firm then and do not lay aside. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You know, here we have Paul addressing the church and, you know, it's true that Jesus had set him free. The work on the cross, which Kat just mentioned, the work on the cross sets us free. That's a truth. Again, we have a church here who Paul's reminding, hey, remember, stand in that freedom. In other words, you're not standing in it. You're not standing in the freedom. You need to remember that Christianity is about standing in that freedom. That's what he's saying to them. And don't let yourselves be burdened again by this yoke of slavery. That's not the Christian life. You see, the church there had become very legalistic. They were drawing on the law. You've heard me say it several times. The context of it, there's these people rocked up at the Galatian churches. There's probably several churches in that area. It's where Paul actually came from, the Galatian area. And these Jewish Christians turned up saying, okay, are all the men circumcised? And that sounded really cool until they found out what circumcision really was. They made them do it, saying, God won't accept you unless you're circumcised, which is not the gospel. It's not true. They were trying to bring all the old law into this new thing called Christianity. And we look at that and we go, oh, how stupid is that, really? Who'd do that? But we do the same thing, maybe not with circumcision, thank goodness. But we do the same thing with legalism and have-tos. There's really only one have-to of Christianity, is love Jesus, or two, and love others. That's what he said. The greatest command is love God and love everyone around you. That's it. Everything else is fulfilled in that, he says. But the Galatian church was yoking itself up with have-tos. And it was bound. And it was not doing good. And the people, Christianity, they weren't living in the freedom that Christ had purchased for them. So often we find ourselves doing it. And my question is this, what do you do with that? I've even sat in sermons where people said, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. And church, I want to let you know, I try to refrain from using those words. If I start saying you have to, you need to come and remind me, Rick, there are no have-tos. There's not really. Jesus died so we don't have to keep rituals. On Friday night, we had a fantastic night here with people getting baptized just under Jimmy's drums there. And it was incredible, but you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to. But it's a beautiful sign of what Christ has done for you. And it's you putting your hand up and saying, I have decided to follow him and I want all of my community to know that. That's what baptism's about. The only have to is faith in Christ and love him and love others. That's it. But we tend to make these rules. What? How do you avoid that? How do you avoid it? What can we do? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's read down verse 16. So I say, walk in the Spirit. There it is. He says it again, just like Romans chapter 8. Walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, so often rule keeping can be a fleshly thing. I feel better because I read my Bible today. I feel better because I prayed for 5 minutes and 1 second. I feel better now. Really, it's just another form of legalism because you're getting gratification out of the flesh, right? Where are we up to? For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. For they are in conflict with each other. Yeah, okay. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Boy, that's pretty profound. And I've got to tell you, that's a massive, massive scripture. You have a picture there of a person, a Christian, and there's this battle going on within them between the flesh and the spirit. Remember back to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit, right? That we are children of God. There's this battle going on that your spirit is receiving from the Holy Spirit, but there's also this flesh part of our life. What is the flesh? What is it? Well, this is how I understand it. I believe every person has a body. There's mine. Not great, I know, but I'm working on it. Everyone has a soul. That's where our mind, our will, and emotions are. And I love our emotions. I love our thought processes, our mind, our psychology. The word in the Greek is psyche, or where we get the word psychology from, for soul. And I love it. I tell you now, your feelings can tell you a lot about you. Another modern way of saying it, when you get triggered, it's telling you a lot. Yeah? Oh no, I'm feeling anxious right now. Yes, your soul is trying to tell you something. So it's not a bad thing to be triggered. It means something's out of line. Okay? And I love our soul, but I don't want to live according to it. Because there's desires within it will lead me down a path where I really don't want to go. Because I'm looking for feeling good. I just want to feel good about things. So we have a body, we have a soul, but I'm convinced we also have a spirit, which is outside of our psychology. It's still within us, but it's different to our soul. And I believe a spirit-led life, it's a little bit ambiguous. It's led by the Holy Spirit, but it's our spirit connected with Him, following Him. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's profound when you think this through. But yet my spirit is in conflict with my flesh. I think God has called us and made us to live not of this world by our spirit leading the rest of us. Our decisions are based on what Holy Spirit reveals to our spirit, outside of our feelings, outside of our will, outside of our emotions, outside of my thinking. And I feel like the Spirit, when we are born again and renewed by Him, that Spirit is awakened to God. And I really want my Spirit to be connected to Him and to be leading Him, because that's when life is best. However, when my whole soul decides to, you know, win the fight that goes on, I think there is a fight within me anyway. There's a wrestle going on of who leads my life. I think our soul is designed to follow things. And I think our soul, when it follows our spirit, our emotions go, yes, God is moving here. I'm so pumped about that. Yes, I'm excited. Sometimes Holy Spirit will say it's time to grieve. So our soul says, yes, I'll grieve. Because grief is actually not a bad thing. It's actually a very powerful thing. Yeah? But then we have our body. We're triune beings, right? We have our body. That's our five senses. Touch, taste, sight, smell, and hearing, sound. That's our body, right? When our body starts to lead, our soul goes, yeah, let's follow that, because that feels good, right? Let me give you an example. Us men have a thing called testosterone. God's put in us, muscle development's part of it, of course reproduction's part of it. And our optic nerve, one of the huge major differences between male and female is our optic nerve has a connection with our testosterone. Actually, a good example of testosterone, I saw this, a psychologist talking about it. During their teens, young boys have big blasts of testosterone going into their brain. They literally have brain explosions. And you'll see a mild-mannered young man do something nuts. And it's one of these explosions. They just do crazy things. So parents, it's okay. They're not demonic. okay? They're just literally having a brain explosion. It will pass. Just make sure they don't kill themselves or anyone else with it. Is that cool? Semi's nodding. But one of the things about males is testosterone plays around with our optic nerve. So when a man sees a naked body of a woman, it's very different to when a woman sees a naked body of a man. It's very different. I remember one guy explaining it, not that I encourage this, but when you go, not that I've been there either, you go to a strip joint, women at a male strip joint are just, woohoo, this is so much fun. There's nothing about it, really. It's just debauchery. But when men go there, they're just sitting very quiet because there's a lot going on the inside. What is happening is this testosterone is blasting up into our brains and giving us hits of dopamine. It's literally a drug hit. Now, don't blame us men, because if that didn't happen to us, we'd never reproduce, ever. We'd be out climbing mountains and driving fast cars and playing sport, right? Yeah, all the men, yeah. We need that attractional thing. I think that's how God designed us, right? Now, here's what my point, after I went down that really weird alley. If I see something on Bondi Beach and I get a hit, it's a feeling, right? My body and my soul goes, that feels so good. Let's do that some more. And I follow that lead, I'm in deep yogurt. I'm going to be bashed by her. I'm probably going to destroy a lot of people's lives because I allowed my soul to follow my body. It was a body reaction, right? That's why David said, I make a covenant with my eyes not to put anything like that in front of it. He understood it, although he blew it. He was out one night walking on top of the roofs and saw a naked young lady. And he allowed his soul to follow his body urges. You see, when your soul finds your body and says, I'm going to follow you, I think that's what the Bible calls flesh. For you girls, the word sail does it for you. Had to lighten it there, eh? Let's read verse 17 again. For the spirit desires what is contrary, for the flesh desires what is different, contrary, opposite to the spirit. And the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. There's the conflict. The key is for my spirit to take the lead and for my emotions, my will and everything to say, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow that. Yes, my body's going to be saying things because that's just the way we're designed. But my soul is going to follow a spirit. So therefore, our spirit must give it something to follow. They are in conflict, it says, with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. And I think that's a warning. I just want to do it. It feels good. No. You have a spirit to guide you away from the stuff which will destroy your life. We have a world that tells you just obey your feelings. You do you is the saying, isn't it? Is that cool, young teens? You do you. I'll do me. No. You do God. You do Holy Spirit. You do His word. And I guarantee you life will be much better. Much more fulfilling. You will fulfill God's will in your life if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide your spirit and say to your soul, follow me. Sometimes you'll do things you don't want to do because the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not a good idea. And when your spirit is strong, when you're walking according to the Spirit, then it just takes you on this beautiful journey of understanding why He said no or why He said yes. Yeah? So what does this all mean? The law, it says there, the law. It talks about have-tos, and I said that before. You see, when you're living according to the flesh, you have to try to be good. Have you noticed that? You're ticking it off. I've got to try and be good. You know, that person walks in the room, I've got to love them. Okay, I'm going to try and love them. So you put on that face and you're just, how are you going, mate? And you're really sitting there thinking, no, he's a South African and he just won the Rugby Cup. And, you know, it's a battle. But it could be a whole bunch of things, just trying to do good all the time. And you're reading your Bible because you know I should do it. Or you're praying because, oh, I've got to get up early because I have to do it. See, that's living according to the flesh. That's Paul's argument here. Bottom line is, none of us can be good. We're inherently evil. We're all sinners. We get it wrong often. Every one of us, and yet me, I'm probably the best out of all of us at it. If we just try and be good, we're going to tie ourselves up. And this is what Paul's saying here. You know, we need to live according to the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit, you live according to the Spirit. Someone once said, it's a bit like the Force. Use the Force, Luke. No, it's much more intricate than that. It's a personal relationship with him. You've got Yoda. There is no try, there's only do or no do, right? But he mixes his words up. I'm trying to be good. No, that's not the key. Paul's argument here is no. That's not how it works. Let's read on. How's it all work? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, against such things there is no law. Against such things there is no have-tos. How do you find love for that person who is a real challenge to love? Walk in the Spirit. And you'll see this love just come out of you. Because you're not following your feelings, you're following what the Holy Spirit guides you in. When you learn to walk in the Spirit, just above the fruits of the Spirit here, talks about the works of the flesh, and there's some pretty horrible things in there. Murder, division, all these sexual, terrible things that will mess your life up. Hatred, arguing. There's a whole bunch of things in there which Paul calls the works of the flesh, when you live according to flesh. So how come this keeps happening in my life, this terrible stuff? How come I find myself arguing and hating? And all? Because you're walking according to the flesh. You could almost call it the fruits of the flesh. And then we read into the fruits of the Spirit. There's these two results of living, and they are all determined by what leads your life. Are you being led by the flesh or are you being led by the Spirit? If I find myself being selfish, it's an indication that I'm not walking with the Spirit. I'm walking in the flesh. Selfishness will estrange you from those you love. Selfishness is a blight which I see in the world. Us 80s children were told the most important person in the world is you. That's a big lie. The Christian should be the most important person in the world is the other. That's the way Jesus operated. But it feels good to, you know, and we got justified through the 80s right up until about now, and we're living this self-focused life. It's a flesh life. The Christian doesn't live the flesh life, we live the Spirit life. And that's what Paul's arguing right here, right now. Those who belong, verse 24, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh. You say, don't you know this, church? When you came to Christ, you put the flesh down. You say flesh, no, you still have a soul and a spirit, a soul and a body, that's true, but it's not flesh anymore because your soul is not following your body. Right? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, listen to this, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love those words. Keeping in step with the Spirit. What does walking with the Spirit mean? What does it actually mean to be led by Him? It's a huge question when you think about it. The Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit. What is it? It's my spirit making a decision. First of all, for me to follow my spirit. I'm going to live a spiritual life. I want to feed it. I want to read my word just to like having a big meal. I want to spend those quality times not praying because I have to, because I want to be in touch with him. I want to hear his voice. I want to have this connection which is beyond my thinking with him. When I was a youth pastor, there was a young guy in our youth ministry. His name was Rob Fry. He would have been about 23, 25, somewhere around there. He was a genius. This guy was a dead set genius. He was so intellectual that actually he was part of the program which established 3G in Australia. He was the one who worked it all out for Australia. Really cluey guy. In fact, he was asked by Harvard University to come across to America and lecture at one of their courses there. He was sought out by them. Funny story is he gets to LA, hires a car, he thinks I'll drive across to New York. Anyway, the person before him had cannabis in the car and he got pulled over and they could smell it. It was a public holiday, so he spent the whole public holiday in jail waiting for a judgment. Poor guy. He said he made a game up. He just played the game all. He made a game up. And he just played it with ripped up pieces of paper. Anyway, this guy, he was so intellectual. He wasn't really high on the EQ. It's just not how God made him. He was such a logical thinker. That's how he operated, right? And he's such a gift to the world because of it. And he used to do these crazy things. If you YouTube base jumping while ironing, that's him. Extreme base jumping, yeah? That's him. He did it up in that thing. He used to do base jumping. And I said to him, Rob, why do you do all this stuff? He says, Rick, it's the only time I feel. Wow. There's a YouTube clip of him doing this very... At one stage, he held the record for the lowest base jump in Australia. And they worked out how low you can be for time for the parachute to get out. And risking his life every time. One day, we had an encounter weekend, which is a bit like Forever Free. Intense spiritual time. And I remember preaching on the Holy Spirit, and we called for break, and we just prayed for everyone standing. We just prayed, spent a bit of time in worship, and Rob was there, and we called it quits, and we went off, but Rob didn't move. Rob's just like this. I thought, that's odd for Rob. And I walked up to him and I could see this, like lots of tears just flowing down his cheeks, pouring down. He's just, his shirt's getting wet and he's, just leave him. Talked to him after and I said, what's going on there, man? He said, Rick, I felt God. Felt his love. It's like it just filled me. Now you've got to understand, this is such a logical thinking guy. For him, that's a massive breakthrough. 3 months later, he was up at Katoomba base jumping and he killed himself accidentally. He died. Smashed his brain to pieces. The report says that he fell off his skateboard, which apparently that's what base jumpers do. If something goes bad, you leave the body next to a skateboard near a big hill. But the doctor said his head injuries were nothing like that of a skating injury. He base jumped himself to death. I did his funeral. I went up to his mum and I talked to her about what happened 3 months before. And she stopped me and says, what? Yeah, Rob was just there crying. Rick, he never cried, not even as a baby. He never cried. He never showed emotion ever. I thought to myself, wow. God got in through him. Got beyond his soul, which his soul was very different to mine. Got beyond it and went beyond that. Beyond his body emotions, and got into his spirit. He had an encounter with God. So powerful. I believe that's what God yearns for all of us, is to have that connection with him, to walk with Holy Spirit. Like I said last week, every hour's not enough. Every minute's not enough. Every second's not enough. He wants to be with us moment by moment. Never leaving, never forsaking. Even when our consciousness cuts off, his doesn't. We know that he's just there. And I believe this is the key to living not of this world. Because when you connect with that, the temptations of the world have nothing on you. The temptations, no matter how much good that chocolate cake metaphorically is, I'm sorry, I know something better. I know something better than that sort of loose life. I know something better than viewing those things. I know something better than winning the argument. It's walking with him. You see, when he speaks with you, he gives you amazing things. We're walking with God himself. And that's one thing I want to remember, want us to remember. He is God. He's not the spirit of God. He's not Casper the friendly ghost. He's God. And Jimmy, he is so powerful, but yet he's so intimate. And he wants to walk with you. He wants you to be close. Listen, Jesus said this, John 14. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept. Isn't that the truth? Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Wow, that's a prophecy. Remember, this is before Jesus went to heaven, before he left earth, right? Verse 26, Jesus speaking again, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And I like to add in there, as you walk with him. That's me adding that in. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know him? Picture yourself at work or school, wherever you are. Picture it right now. Got a spare chair? How would you be if Jesus himself was sitting there? How cool would that be? Jesus, I'm having a hard time now. Can you just give me some comfort? Yeah, I can. Come here. Oh, Jesus, I'm just confused in life right now. Can you help me sort this out? Yeah, I'd love to do that. Let's do that together. Well, Jesus can't physically be. He was 100% man as well as 100% God, so he couldn't physically be everywhere. But Holy Spirit can. And he is God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church. I'm a Pentecostal pastor. And I believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for this purpose. To experience his presence every moment. To listen to him and have him speak to me through the word, sometimes not through the word. He speaks to me. But when he does speak to me, it always coincides with the word. He shows me dreams and visions. He's powerful. He's so intricate. He's so intimate. This is Holy Spirit. This is God. And I believe he wants to walk with us all the time. In fact, I think it's essential that the believer walk with Holy Spirit. I think you don't grow without him. He will teach you all things. He communicates. He has emotions. He's a being. He's not just a wisp. He has a personality. He can be pleased. In Acts, when they're deciding what institutes a Christian, Paul writes a letter to the council in Jerusalem, and they said, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that these four things, bang, 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 bang. It felt good to the Holy Spirit. It pleased him. He can be grieved. The word says he can be grieved. He can be saddened and he can be offended. The amount of times I feel like I've offended him. Wow. He's a person. He's here with us right now. The Bible calls him Parakletos, which is Greek for the one who walks beside. He's a friend. He's an advocate. He's a comforter, a counselor. He's an intercessor. He knows what you're going through and he's praying for you. That's his job. 24/7. 366 next year. Every day of the year, he wants to be close to you. But we live our lives caught up in this world stuff and being led by feelings and our own thoughts and our own wisdom, but he has all the wisdom you want. In fact, James says, just ask once and you've got it all. Wow, don't ask a second time. Shows me you don't believe you received it the first time. That's what James says. Just ask him for the wisdom. And the wisdom will come. My take on all of this is every day you can just refer to him. He's the one who walks beside you. He's close. He's likened to fire. He's likened to wind. All encasing, all powerful wind. He's likened to still waters, deep waters, waters of living life that can come to you, rivers of living water. That's who he is. He comes with power and he comes with a still small voice. This is our Holy Spirit. He wants you to know him personally. He wants to walk with you every moment by moment, and he will radically change your life. I watched a debate recently, debating the historical Jesus. That is, the 100% man, 100% God. Just take the 100% God away for a minute. Did this man exist? And fascinating debate. And the historical Jesus was a tradesman living in a place called Nazareth. Right? Tradie. In fact, you could actually argue a handyman living in Nazareth. Let's just put it in today's context. We're talking about a part-time plumber living in St. Mary's. That's what we're equating it to, right? But yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, not only worshipping him, but seeing people lay their lives down for him every day. How did he do that? And this guy just argues it, and you're sitting there thinking, yep, the calendar is based on his birth. This part-time plumber from St. Mary's. Think about that for a minute. Oh, did Jesus, was he really God? Think about it for a minute. The part-time plumber from St. Mary's had the calendar determined by his birth. Two-thirds of the world celebrate his birth every year and his death. Wow. Even those who claim to be atheists celebrate it. That's interesting. Changed everything. My point is this. What we read in the book of Acts, and I think this is why the book of Acts is there, is because those who followed him were fishermen, despised tax collectors, and crazy zealots. They were literally the same. They were from Kingswood, Mount Druitt. Very simple people. Pretty messed up people. Mary Magdalene, pretty messed up. Broken. But what we read about is when Acts chapter 2 came, every one of them changed. Every one of them went on to change their known world. It just broke loose. It went crazy. And here we are still talking about it. Have a read a book of Acts with this in mind, that these tradies and broken people from Kingswood, Mount Druitt and St. Mary's went on to change the living world as we know it today. How did they do that? Jesus said, these promises, the advocate will come, but don't leave Jerusalem until he comes upon you. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. I reckon he could have translated, you won't be able to do anything until he comes upon you. How important is it to walk with Holy Spirit? It is everything, Christian. It is everything. Everything. I don't want to leave you, he says. See, we sometimes get in this little thing of, oh, he'll turn up when I need him. No, he's with you all the time. He doesn't want to just be your beckon and call. He wants to be your partner. He's gracious. He's loving. He'll do that. But he wants to walk with you, converse with you. He wants to hold your hand when you're going through the night. though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's got my hand and I know he's with me. I don't want to live of this world. What's the alternative? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. He's here now. Do you know him? He's my friend. He saved my life several times. He saved my marriage. I've seen him grow amazing young people into a mature adults who are walking so strong in their families now. He does that. He knows what's happening above us. He knows what's happening beyond us. He knows the future. And he loves you so much that really we have no reason to ever say, nobody loves me. We don't have that anymore because he does. And he's a real person. You know him? We're going to spend a bit of time. If I could have the team come, that'd be great. Thanks, guys. We're going to spend a bit of time here this morning. So I want you to walk with him. Like I said, we're body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes we need to go past our feelings or our knowledge. He lives outside of our psychology. He lives outside of the natural. You understand that? He's supernatural. Don't try and figure him out. Don't try and reason him. You won't. I know of Christians who have spent their entire lives trying to reason God out and they can't. They just come up empty-handed. You can't. That's why faith is important. That's why the last 2 weeks I said to you the three things I've learnt to do to begin to walk with him is one, repent. That doesn't mean get on your knees and grovel to him. That means just to turn around and change your thinking. I'm going to change my thinking on this one. Then the second thing is have faith. You'll never reason this out. You'll never theologically explain it because he's beyond all that, Holy Spirit. He really is. Jesus just blew the Pharisees' religion out of the water. He can do that. That's what Holy Spirit does to me all the time. There's a guy, famous preacher, I forget his name actually. It's in God's Generals. He's an alcoholic. But yet, they call him up to preach. Instantly, he gets beyond the pulpit and he'd sober up, preach the message. People get saved and physically healed. Then he'd get off stage and he was drunk again. I don't know. What's that? It's God doing whatever he wants to because he thinks he's God. Because he is God. What do you want to do in your life? Oh, but Rick, it's impossible. Yes, just as well you don't worship Buddha because he can't do anything. Holy Spirit can. He can do the impossible. What do you want to do in your life today? Are you hungry for him? Do you need to be healed? Let's start there. You need to be healed. Maybe there's a sickness, an injury, or a brokenness in your spirit somewhere. Maybe there's a brokenness in your soul. Maybe there's scars there, you just need healing. Maybe you're sick and you can't understand it. Maybe you know of someone who's sick who can't be here and you need to stand in their place today. That's you, I want you to stand where you are right now and we're just going to lay hands on you. Who needs healing? Yep. Do you need to stand for anyone? He's the healer. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who can do impossible things, and he's here right now. Now I'm going to ask anyone here who's got faith. You've got faith enough to believe that he can see the miracle. I want you to just gather around them and lay hands on these people. If you don't have the faith, that's okay. See healings today. We're going to see miracles. We already have. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here right now, my friend. You know what brokenness there is, what healing, what diseases there are, sicknesses, injuries. You know them all. My friend, I just ask you, would you heal them right now? Lord, where they've got a crushed soul, would you just breathe life into that soul right now? Awaken it and heal it. Holy Spirit, come. Just come. And do your miracle right now through every life. Through every life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, breakthroughs. Breakthroughs.